We're going to talk on a topic that I think is incredibly relevant to your life right now because it's what the culture's talking about it. This is really our last time to gather as a Wake family in a teaching time like this, structured like this. And so we thought that it was appropriate to address this with everybody and to talk through this conversation together. We have sent some materials to your parents so that hopefully you guys will continue to engage with them and not just us in a room or even just you and your small group. But what we're seeking to do is begin a conversation. Begin to talk about something that the culture, and specifically a certain show in our culture is throwing at you, what we are called to do with that as God's people, and how we combat this incredible lie that is out there, that the enemy is throwing out there, using the culture to do that, and what the truth behind it is. And so today, we are going to have a message that's called 13 Reasons Why Your Life Matters. Now, this is purely based off a show entitled, the first part of that. It's called 13 Reasons Why. Most of you in this room have heard of it. Some of you have unfortunately seen it. But all of you, if not most of you, or at least all of the students in your school, they're talking about it. And so that's why this morning we're going to talk about it. It is the show right now. It is the most talked about Netflix show that has ever been created. It has been now out on Netflix for over a month, and people have tweeted about it over 11 million times. And so this is something that people are interested in, intrigued about, wanting to know about. And guys, I want to tell you, if you don't know what it's about, I want to tell you what it is about so that you don't have to go find it out for yourself. 13 Reasons Why is a show about a junior in high school, a girl named Hannah, a girl who seemed like a normal girl, had some things together. Sure, she had hurts like we all do, but no one expected for it to take the turn that it did when she took her own life and committed suicide. What she then did is somehow distributed 13 tapes, each tape about a different person, explaining the 13 reasons why she decided to take her life. 13 people and their hurt towards her of why she decided to take her life. The show is based off a book written in 2007, and the show takes even more liberty to portray, I think, very inappropriate and unnecessary graphic depictions of certain scenes that I think are inappropriate for anybody, but especially for guys and girls your age. And the unfortunate thing is it is directly targeted at you. This show is marketed to teenagers. This show is saying, this is where you're at, this is your world, and they want you to watch it, and I think it's a huge miss. What the show does is it seems to glamorize suicide. It seems to make it look like this girl Hannah was a hero. She was courageous. Man, how could these people do this to her? It's all their fault. And it misses that there is just a deep hurt that she decided to take action to run away from and not seek help. And what it does is it makes entertainment out of somebody's real struggle. And it puts 13 episodes for people all over the world to sit and go, man, I wonder what's going to happen next. And so As much as I can, I don't do this often, but as much as I can, as someone who loves you, as a shepherd of you, as someone who hopefully points you to truth and continues to point you to Jesus, I want to warn you against watching the show. I want to ask you not to. Because I think it's going to put things in your mind that you don't need to see. If you've seen it, God doesn't hate you, and we don't hate you. We want to love you. We want to talk with you. But you do not have to see this to understand the hurt in it. And I pray that you don't. That's the show. I hope that you don't have to go seek more than that. That's what it's about. That's what you need to know. And I hope that you talk through with your parents about that, about the things in it. Before we jump into some other things this morning, I want you to know suicide is not normal. This show has brought something into our culture that makes it seem like that's an option. It's not an option. That is not the action to take. There are people, even in this room, who wrestle with thoughts like that, who wrestle with hurt, who wrestle with depression, who wrestle with things that feel like you don't even know what to do with it. I just want to ask you, will you let us help you? Will you ask an adult? Will you tell an adult what you're feeling? You can come up after here. You can talk to me or any leader in this room. More than that, I pray that you would ask your parents. I would ask you to talk to your parents because they love you. They want to help you. We want to help you. Suicide is not normal, and suicide is not the option. There's a couple things that this show is doing, and I want to address a few of those things, especially for junior high and high school kids, but for us junior high kids. One thing I just want to remind you, what we talked about last week, sin is tempting. And this idea to harm yourself or do even worse to yourself because there's no other option, that is sin. And the enemy is putting that in the minds of you and others because he hates you. And he is trying to do everything he can to take you out. We have an enemy who is a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He is seeking to devour you, to kill you, to end your life in whatever means possible. And for most of us, that means he's going to distract us. Sin is tempting. It seems like that might be the way that we should go, whatever the sin. But I want to remind you guys, this is sin. And what this show has done is it has brought a conversation into our culture that has began to make light of it. Meaning, there are students y'all's age, there are adults who are joking about this content. There are memes that are going out. Again, I don't tell you this to go search it. I tell you this to keep you from it. There are memes that are out there where people are taking the quotes of the show and using that to make fun of certain situations, to make light of it, to make it kind of a one-liner or a jab. There are people using all kinds of forms of social media to just joke about this. And I'm going to ask you, if you're doing that, please stop. If you hear your friends doing that, please stop them. Lovingly ask them and tell them, hey, that's inappropriate. Because again, guys, this is a real struggle for people. Maybe even people in this room. And beyond this idea of what's shown in this show, we all have hurts. We all have things that we don't know what to deal with. Loneliness, emptiness, brokenness. We all have feelings where we just don't know where to go and don't know what to do. And so we seek to escape. We find other things that, well, maybe we fill that or numb that or fulfill it with something else, then it will go away and we miss the only object of affection that will fill that, and it is Jesus. And so what this show has done is it's created an intrigue, an interest for people to go, man, yeah, I wonder what that's like. I wonder what led her to that. And so guys, today, instead of being consumed or interested in the mystery of why a girl would decide to take her own life, I want to ask you to be consumed and interested why God, the mystery of why God would take his own life and lay it down for you, would lay his life so that you could have life, have it to the fullest, and have it eternally. There are some of you in here this morning who in your head you're wrestling with, man, do I matter? Do people care about me? Do people love me? Do people notice me? And I hope you hear me say, yes, we love you. And more than that, God loves you. That's not a Jesus juke. That's not a churchy answer. We're going to spend the rest of the time reminding you of the 13 reasons why your life matters to a good and a loving God. And so I hope you take notes. We're going to give you this content. It's all going to be out there. And so if you're distracted by taking notes, that's fine. We'll give it to you. But there's going to be a lot of reasons, 13 of them, and a lot of scripture. And so I'm just going to remind you, not of my opinion, not of just good, trite things to say, but of what the Creator God thinks of you and how he loves you. So here we go. Number one, God created you in his image. God created you to look and be like him. What it says in Genesis 1 is this. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. You're not a mistake. You're not a mess up. You are created because you're exactly what God wanted to create you to be. Number two, God values you. God values you. Luke chapter 12 says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why even the hairs of your head are all numbered? Fear not. You are of more value than the many sparrows. This is Jesus talking. Another one is Psalm 8, 3 through 5. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, crowned him with glory and honor. Guys, out of everything that God created, even the majesty of the mountains and the stars, you are his greatest creation. And God values you. You matter. Number three, God loves you, and he loves you so much that he came down to be with you. John 1, 1 through 3, and then going to verse 14, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is speaking of Jesus. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made, and the Word became flesh, God incarnate, God in the form of the man, and his name's Jesus, and he dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God loved you so much, he left his glory in heaven to come be with you. Because he loves you. Number four, this is a good one. God loves you at your worst. You don't have to get cleaned up. You don't have to get all pretty. You don't have to figure your life out before you come to God. God loves you as you are, and the worst of who you are. Romans 5, 6 through 8. One of these verses is probably familiar to you. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 2,000 years ago, knowing the things that you would do this last weekend, knowing the things that you'll do 10 years from now, Jesus died for you to set you free, to give you life. He loves you at your worst. Number five, God rescued you through Jesus' death. God doesn't just snap his fingers and like a genie make it all go away. He paid the price for you, Ephesians 2. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, so that no one may boast. God has done it for you. He rescued you. You don't have to pull yourself up. You don't have to fix yourself. You just have to trust him. He did it because he values you. Your life matters. Number six, maybe even greater news than that. God calls you his son or daughter. God's not just trying to fix you. He is adopting you into his family. 2 Corinthians 6:18. I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God calls you son. God calls you daughter. God invites you into his family. That's amazing news. 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, has poured on us, has just unleashed the gates, gushed upon us, that we would be called children of God. And that is what you are. Your life matters. Number 7, God calls you his masterpiece. Hopefully another familiar verse, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, so that you would walk in them. God prepared it in advance so that you would then go walk in it. You are his handiwork. You are his workmanship. You are his masterpiece. You. The way you look in the mirror and go, I don't like this. God looks at you and goes, I love that. And you matter to me. Number 8, God promises to never leave you alone, and he leaves you his spirit. We're going to show a couple of verses here. Romans 8, though, it says that he will never leave you or forsake you. For those who believe in him, God is with you. Not only is he just around, for those who believe in Jesus, his presence is in you. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And before Jesus left the earth, in Matthew 28:20, he says, and surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The Spirit of God is in you for those who believe. And guys, those of you who have not trusted your life to Christ, God is with you because his people are with you. The Spirit of God is in them, and he dwells among you, so that you can see the goodness of God. And I hope you do. Number 9, God puts people in your life to love you. Your small group are these people. You hear us make an announcement. We do that because if you're not in a small group, you are missing out on God's provision for your life. God's people are a form of his provision to encourage you, to admonish you, to show you the truth of who God is, to remind you of that. John 13:34 through 35. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. How we doing, church? God has put his people in your life. And you guys that are in a small group, you are his people. For those in your small group that are hurting, love one another. Number 10, God uses the church, the body of Christ, to minister to you. God uses not this building, not just little places that have crosses on them, but the people, the body of Christ, to minister to you. Ephesians 4:11-13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We as God's people are here to minister to each other in our little smaller communities and then all over the world until Jesus comes or until we look exactly like him. Number 11, only a few more to go. God wants to use you to minister to others. The last one was God wants to use the church to minister to you. God wants to use you to minister to others. 1 John 4:11-12. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Different translation for today. We are the expression of God's love to this hurting and broken world. They may not see God, but they see us, and we represent the Spirit of God in us, the hope of God, because of the truth that we believe and the hope that we have in him. Number 12, why your life matters, because God designed you for life. God designed you not just for a blip on eternity, not just to end that early. God designed you for your life that he has planned, that he has prepared, and you can trust him. Job 33:4. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. John 10:10, this is Jesus. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the enemy. The enemy comes to kill you. But Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, that you may have life and have it abundantly. And then number 13, God designs you for eternity. God designs you not for this life only, but forever. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Guys, all of these things come from Scripture, and you can stand on them. We went quickly through them. I'm going to put it up on the screen so you can see all 13. These are the 13 reasons why your life matters. Some of those verses are hard to see, but we'll give this to you so that you don't have to feel like you have to write all of those down right now. But guys, if you feel hurt, if you feel lonely, if you feel like you don't know what to do, I hope that the truth of this reminds you that God cares for you, that we care for you. And guys, if you're in here and you are struggling, maybe not in this area, but in any area, we want to help you. I hope you hear that loud and clear. We're not going to be mad at you. We're going to sit, and we're going to love you as best as we can and point you to life in Christ. I'm going to give you one more verse that we already have read, but a verse that I want to hit again. And I highlighted here where it says love. This I'm going to read it. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's repetitive because that is what's necessary. You, junior high students that believe in Jesus Christ, I know you have hurts. I have them too. We live in a sinful, broken, fallen world. We are not home yet. And so we're going to have stuff that we need help with. Let's ask each other for help. I have to go to guys in my life and ask them for help all the time so that I don't run to my flesh and run to my despair, but I remember life in Christ. Guys, we need that for each other. And then there's a hurting and broken world out there that doesn't know the God that we have just reminded ourselves about this morning. Doesn't know who he is, doesn't know how he loves them, and you get to share that with them. You get to be provision for people as God sends you out to love his people who are hurting in all kinds of ways this week. How we're going to help you do that is we've got these cards that say exactly what we just talked about, 13 reasons why your life matters, and on the back, there are all 13, and then a bunch of scriptures. I hope you take one of these for you. I hope you take it and you put it somewhere and you pray these over yourself, over your family, over your small group. But we also have someone, and here's what I'm going to ask. If you would give this to somebody, I want to ask you to take more. We've got enough. I want you to take as many as you would be willing to give to your friends and not just be like, here, ha! But sit with them and just go, hey, man, maybe you know that someone is struggling with this same thing. And I hope you give it to them, and I hope that maybe you sit in one of these scriptures and remind them of the truth of who God is, remind them of the gospel, and then show that in your life. And so we've got these. I hope you take one of these and take one or two more to distribute to your friends. Guys, we are the expression of God's love to this hurting and broken world. If you are hurting and broken and lonely and need help like we all do, let us help you. Let me pray, and then we'll send out and go on mission to tell people and remind them of why they matter. God, thank you that you love us. I can't believe it. I am in awe of it, that the God of the universe cares about me, knows my name, knows the hairs, the number of hairs on my head, because you created me, you love me. And you feel that way for each and every person in this room. Everyone in here matters. Everyone outside of these walls matters. Will you help us believe that about ourselves so that when we look in the mirror and we have thoughts and ways, things that we would change and things that we might want to numb the pain and hurt that we feel, that we would be reminded of the truth of who you are and the truth that's in your word, and that we would stand on that truth, that we would cling to it for life, that we would scream day in and day out, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. And for those that are hurting and broken within, that they'd come to the altar because Jesus, you're calling. God, we love you. And we have places of darkness in our heart. We have places we need you to call us out of that and bring it into the light. Will you help us confess sin? For those of us that have thoughts that we're wrestling with, will you help us share that with our parents, share that with our small group leaders, share that with one another? And then, Lord, will you use us this week, even today, to go out and be a source of hope and life to a hurting and broken world because of your Spirit, the Spirit of God in us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.